Blog Talk Radio.
We are the UR Tennis Network. Our mission is to be the voice of tennis. We enlist a team of passionate enthusiasts to promote our sport. We strive to bring interesting perspectives on the many spins of tennis. Our goal is to provide the learners of our sport with current news and information from many angles. We seek active participation from communities interested in tennis, but tennis is not interested in them. We are expanding our outreach. Tennis is a true lifetime sport that needs to be talked about, and the UR Tennis Network pledges to pursue this idea relentlessly.
Good afternoon, high school tennis fans. Welcome to the UR Tennis Network, where you'll find all your tennis news. This is your host, Coach Denise, bringing you the FHS-TCA perspective on high school tennis. We think we have a very exciting show today. We have a guest who has been very supportive of high school tennis, for a former college coach from University of North Florida. Inga has been, he runs IBTennis.net. He's been part of our workshops with the FACA, and he'll be joining us in October in Orlando for our upcoming workshop. He's in Norway right now. But he, matter of fact, I see him on. Let me just make sure that's him, and then I will get back to some other business I have to do. Inga, are you there? Inga, are you there? Coach, are you there?
Hello, John.
Coach, are you
there? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thanks for joining us today. I just wanted to sit there and remind our audience that the UR10 Network is where you're going to find all your tennis news. We want to thank Jason Weber and We Coach Tennis for picking up the ownership of the program. We thank Jason Haynes for all his years of doing this. Of course, Chuck Creasy and his American Tennis Instructional Series has been on for 4 years, and hopefully you're listening to Lisa Stone and her parent in ISIS. Her tennis show will bring you right from 10 and under and right up into college tennis, because she has a son playing college tennis now. And, of course, our show is predominantly high school tennis, but you can't be involved in high school tennis without being involved with college tennis, because we have a certain amount of those players that look to come in and want to go play college tennis. We have a smaller group of people, people that Inga works with much times, that can go on and look to for the challenges that are going on the WTA or the ATP tour and taking on those challenges. So we sit there and remind everybody that the future of tomorrow is in high school today. And we thank people like Inga Bundervall, who has been a supporter of our program for a long time. He's taken his students to our workshops previously. And I didn't lie, Inga, when I said you're going to be in Orlando in October for our workshop again this year. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm planning on being there and hopefully bringing a new set of players there.
Very good. We appreciate all you're doing. I suspect that your involvement with University of North Florida It's the IB tennis is taking up so much of your time, and that's why you're no longer running the tennis program, or is there other reasons?
No, basically, I somewhat, like after I spent a long time at UNF for about 10 years, and I did a lot of work under Thomas Schrader as an assistant coach there with both teams, and then I went on to coach both teams, a head coach, and then we hire a new coach, and then we split the teams, and when we went to Division One, and that's when I spent 6 years as the head coach for the men's team, and we went through a lot of rebuilding on that program and the overall athletic program as well, and then I felt like it was time to go onto a different area of my development as a coach, and I was fortunate enough to start traveling with a girl that was former top 15 in the world. She was number one in France. Her name was Araban Rezai. And so I traveled with her for a little while, and I left UNF, and then I was on the tour with different players for a little bit. And eventually, after about a year and a half, I decided to start working with junior players. So, and now I'm actually currently coaching the women's team at FSCJ in Jacksonville now as part of this ongoing project that I have to kind of find the right path to develop players to get the overall package through tennis, you know.
Well, and we appreciate that you're doing this. I'm sorry, I missed that. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, no, I was just saying that currently I'm coaching the FSCJ team, and besides you, IB tennis, I'm doing with junior players. I'm also coaching the women's team at a junior college in Jacksonville. So that's another area that I was trying to include into my personal developmental project for tennis players.
Well, and you're in Norway now. What are you doing in Norway, Inge?
In Norway, I'm actually on my way to France, where I'm stopping here for a few days on family business. But I'm actually, I have a friend of mine, and we have developed a tour. This is a very long answer and a very interesting question. The French system, it's the French association developed this this competition system or competitive system where it's what became the base to what UTR is becoming in the US now, which is a rating system which allows players from different ages and different backgrounds to compete against each other. And eventually what's going to happen is that it's going to come out to be live draws, to where you have the first round of players all rated the same, and then whoever wins that round, you're going to redo the draw with players that are rated one rating higher, and you keep going this way until you get to a position to where you have eight players left, and then you just make a regular draw. And so that's why UTR came live in the US, because it allows the players to have a more, you no longer have any easy first rounds or tough first rounds. It's gradually increasing the level of competition in the draw, and it's a lot more fair and a lot more helpful towards development. So basically, I have a friend of mine that has been playing tennis in France, interclubs, and actually play college tennis for a long time, and we started doing this tour with all kinds of ages and level players. And we have kids that are as young as 11 years old, and then kids that are or players that are 900 or 800 ATP that stop by this tour to get some rhythm and to get some competition, and then they go back to their own competitive agendas. The reason why is because when you're competing by rating, the tournament's length, it's a lot larger. So that means that a tournament could last anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks based on the amount of levels that are on that draw, on that live draw. So basically, you could play anywhere from 2 to 3 tournaments per week. And that opens the door to really work on the mental development and strategy and pretty much anything. Like if you're developing any new technique on a player, you really don't stress out wins or losses that much. You can actually focus on the actual execution, knowing that the following day, win or lose, most likely you're going to be playing another match. So that's pretty much where we are right now.
Well, I congratulate you for that, because sometimes I think we forget that competition is not a bad word. It's an important word, and I've always reminded my high school players that you're going to be competing the rest of your life, and competition is good. And I'm a big believer in the UTR rating system. I was glad to see California, USTA Southern California picking that up for their junior programs there. Hopefully we will do that in Florida someday. But, you know, we used to be the leaders. We're not always the leaders no more. But with your involvement, I think we're going to get back to that state again. Because I know that dollars are important. I know we, you know, as a not-for-profit organization, we're always looking for support. But being able to give these juniors competition and not just scaring them away or not making it so boring or so challenging that we don't have as many players as we should is just as important. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, because I've been on this for a while, and the USTA is a great organization, but I think we have to keep an open mind on everything. Today's challenges are different. And I know it's tough for a coach, because most coaches come in and they start off with what we did in the past or what our coaches instructed us with. But change is necessary, and I think it is good. But you have to have an open mind and willing to go out and accept that. Unless you'd like to make another comment on that, I'd like to talk to you about your approach for player development in the at the middle and high school age.
Yeah. No. I think that I did the high performance training with the USTA, and I have to tell you, I mean, I was very pleased to be a part of it. And I think that their approach is, I mean, they have their own approach. I think they're more oriented towards technology and technique development. But I have to tell you, there is a group of people out there that are really working hard at producing players. And I mean, the French system offers some things that are commendable as well, but at the same time, they have some flaws. And I think it's tough to say what's the right combination. And even as any big organization where the results are scrutinized so often, I think it's kind of, it's a lot of pressure. And it's when you are really being asked for results, it's really hard to focus on the process, you know? And so I kind of sort of reserve the judgment on any organization, where being the French or the USTA or any other one, or I'm Argentinian, so the Argentinian one, on any decisions that they make, because being on the inside, I gotta tell you, it's a very tough situation to deal with. You know, you have too many things that are not visible to the outside person that really play a role on whether you are able to produce what potentially seems feasible. Moving on to the next question, why high school and why did we get in touch with each other? I believe that high school in the U.S., given the infrastructure, the amount of courts, the amount of budget available for high school tennis, it's beyond comprehension. I mean, compared to any other country in the world, it's by far the largest. So I feel it definitely has the potential to offer some development. And also the funny thing is, like, being a former college coach and now back into college, but at a JUCO level, which is the first 2 years, and it's a different background player anyways, I feel like high school provides having the academic part of it. It's a, you know, it's a very important age for the player to where you could connect on-court, off-court development. If the academic part is connected to the athletic part, you could really produce some athletes that are more of a healthy competitors, where you understand that success doesn't really connect only to wins or failure to losses. I think that the ability to create positive habits on a daily basis, whether it be nutrition or time management, and the ability to understand that if you're able to focus on the process that you're currently working on without focusing on any outside comments or results, ultimately you'll reach a much higher goal. And these are ages where the kids are actually understanding or trying to fit in and understanding who they want to be and decided who they want to be and what role they want to play in their groups. So if we're able to create environments where the tennis or let's say the off court is connected to the on court and the academic part of it, we could really produce some very healthy competitors.
I couldn't agree with you more. We all have our own biases, and naturally, I'm no different. But I do think that we're missing an opportunity. We have a sleeping giant in tennis here. In one sense, it's a great advantage over other countries where in Europe, for instance, where you are, they don't play the sport. They go to clubs and everything. And I think that the combination is so important. I know I've received many phone calls and comments and on Facebook about, you know, camps this summer. What are you going to do? School's out. Well, tennis does not end when school's out. And I tell people we don't endorse any one summer camp. Should your players be going to a summer camp? You bet your life they should. Do they need a little time off? Sure, but get them back into tennis. And, of course, I strongly recommend in Florida that you go to Florida Tennis Magazine. You will find, I know in the last issue, I think I counted 30 tennis camps around the state of Florida, all of them good. The new issue, the June and July issue of Florida Tennis, just came out yesterday. I haven't had time to look at it all. We do have it up on our website, www.fhstca.org. So if you need the information right away, you'll see places where to go. Or if your magazine is missing from the club, you can always go to our website and see the last issue. And, of course, you can always see the articles that I write for Florida Tennis each month. I agree with you that I think the USTA does a great job. I've been blessed to go through the high performance coaching program, and I continuously go through the continuing education portion of it every year, and I think they do an outstanding job. But I think that we have to keep an open mind, and sometimes I think that I do think it's hard for coaches because we're all set in our own ways a little, but I think we have to be careful to be responsive to new ideas. For instance, I've written an article last year about the social media, how important it is. Going to your site, for instance, and I haven't been there a little while, hopefully you haven't taken it off, but you had some videos on there that you also had on YouTube and everything, and going through your morning process. Hopefully it's still up. But I think there's so much good information out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll give you my two cents on completely personal once again, and it doesn't really have to do anything. I mean, I picked the projects that I like to do. I'm fortunate enough to have made a decision earlier on in my career that I want to live through tennis. I want to live experiences in my life, and I want to provide my players with experiences because at the end of the day, I had the opportunity to be with a lot of people on court, and tennis was just a channel of communication, you know. And then I'm friends with most of my players, and I'm visiting a lot of my players when I'm traveling around, and it creates a very, very unique, strong bond with both male and female players, where you feel like you have lived through a level of adrenaline and stress and struggle together that has connected you for life, you know, when you feel like it's tough competition. But tough competition could be on an L7, or it could be on a futures, or it could be in a Grand Slam. It's irrelevant. I mean, what you're sharing is a feeling, and it's just in a different venue. But personally, and I was lucky enough. I'm really good friends with Craig O'Shaughnessy, which happens to be the lead writer for ATP WTA stats and all that stuff. We became friends long, long ago, that I brought him to UNF when I first grabbed the position as a head coach, and he came and gave a talk that he used to do back in the day. And since that day on, we clicked it. And I mean, I really share the fact that, you know, at a very high level of competition, basically you're trying to neutralize variables, whether that being wind, feelings, fitness is not a variable that you have to neutralize, because you're assuming that every player on the top, you know, on the top 300 in the world, 400 in the world, is super fit. And then you have to tweak certain things, but to play the game, you have to have a certain level of fitness that is beyond standard. So that's where we started looking, or I started personally looking at numbers and looking for people that would look at the game from a number standpoint. And then Craig was starting his process with Dartfish and video analysis. And when we took him to the, when I brought him into that path, I was way before. And then now I see that there is so much information and so much stress into new technologies coming in and new analysis and new percentages. But I feel like too much information is just not that useful, to be honest with you. And I think that to some extent we have lost touch with really what's going on, especially at a developmental level, because at a developmental level it's mainly about really being able to focus on the person that is on the court with you. I mean, if you're working one-on-one, what is really, first of all, what's the real goal? And then is that their goal? Is it their parents' goal? Is it peer pressure? Is it your goal as a coach? And then from the beginning, I feel like sometimes we're starting on the wrong foot. I feel like either the kids are there because they are sent to there, or they're there because they feel like if they don't do it right, they don't belong. Or we as coaches are pressuring the kids to do more or train more or overtrain the kids. So I think that the first step is just to really look why you're there, why you're sharing that time. Is it money? Is it, I mean, what drives you there? And why you're sharing that time together, you know? So once I was able to kind of focus on that area, I was able to decide, okay, which path would I take with this kid? And that's where I take coaching now. I mean, is this player looking for this? Okay, for this player, I would like to do this. And only this many times. Or we need more time, you know? But I feel like as an industry, I mean, there is the standard of training hours is super high. I mean, I don't know. For me, an 8-hour day of training for a kid that is 14, 15 is insane. It's insane. I mean, I don't understand how a kid can train 3 days, 8 hours a day. First of all, I cannot understand how a kid can train more than 4 hours a day properly. You know, let's start with the attention span. You know, how can a kid that is, you know, 15 or 16 or 17 years old, can really stay focused and do things with a certain level of quality? I mean, even if we're all trying our best, I mean, it's going to be tough to reproduce that thing 3 days in a row. And at least...
Excellent.
Yeah, go ahead.
Excellent point. Andy Brandy on last week from the USTA program, and he said basically the same thing. I think we often forget that. I think we often forget, I forgot who said it years ago, but you're always past failure on the way to success. And sometimes, you know, statistics and numbers and everything don't show you what a personal coach, a caring coach, is in there that recognizes why. Is it the backhand that's breaking down? Is it the forehand breaking down? Or is it the inner self that's breaking down? I mean, there's so many aspects to coaching, and that I enjoyed your presentations with us so much for a couple of reasons. Number one, in the high school level, there's all type of we get most of our players are recreational players, but we do have those players that can play in college. And you mentioned in 2-year college now.
Yeah.
You know, I think in Florida we need much, much more of that because people mature at a different age. I mean, and some people just seems crazy that we're asking a young person, what are you going to do the rest of your life and what are you going to take up in college at 18 years old? At 18 years old, I went in the Marine Corps because I didn't know who I was, never mind where I was going to be. And I had a few careers during the last 76 years. And yet we seem to want to put this pressure on a young person. And I couldn't agree with you more. Your approach to player development, though, at that high school level, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, what you're saying is I can't say this is Inge's approach, that it depends on the players you're coaching. Am I correct or am I reading you wrong?
No, yeah, I completely right, and I completely agree with Andy in the sense of that the fact that the first thing we need to recognize is that the goal, I mean, the reason why they're there. Why are they there? They're high school players. They're going through high school, and tennis is one of the many facets of their development that they're facing. You know, and I feel like if you call yourself a developmental coach, that doesn't mean, I mean, developmental means that you're developing. That doesn't mean that you're going into high performance, you know, that you're trying to get a kid. I mean, if you try to get a kid that to be number one in the country, then it's about you. It's not about the kid. So your chances to really get somebody out there, you're going to burn a lot of people along the way. You know what I mean? You're going to burn a lot of kids along the way to fill up a dream that you have. And it's, and I think when you touch the high school subject, I feel like it's mainly you have to be very aware that the situation that you're in is just to be very watchful of the signs of the kid's direction. Where do they want to go? Because sometimes tennis could also be an open door for the kids to become an athlete. Maybe they discover sports through tennis. See what I mean? Like I didn't start. My first sport wasn't tennis. It was through basketball. And I developed the love for sports through basketball. And I had my first feelings and using my body into a strategy through basketball. And then when I started playing tennis, it was mainly technique in the beginning, to do it right, to do it wrong, to feel right, to feel wrong. But then when I understood really the game, I started implementing strategy. Actually, I got to say, when I started playing the game, I implemented strategy. But when I understood the game and I was able to implement strategy, I realized that it was actually a mental game because these variables were closed. So, but for that, we're talking about, you know, three huge steps with a lot of mini steps where the kids are really deciding whether they want to run that path or not. You know, I have had in my career as a developmental coach, in talking about juniors, I mean, parents asking me for the kids to train more or to train if they needed to do fitness or if they didn't needed to lift weights. And then when you look at the kid and you're thinking, yeah, I mean, would they benefit? And they would only benefit if they want to do it. If they don't want to do it, they definitely don't want to benefit. They won't benefit from it because they're going to be burned out. So the mental aspect becomes a lot stronger on every step of the way in the developmental process, you know. As a high school coach, I feel like it's just being able to direct the players towards the direction that they want to go and also to understand that delegating towards the right direction is very important, meaning accepting, okay, this goal surpasses my abilities, or I'm able to take this objective, but I'm not gonna be able to attend the other needs of the rest of the team in high school that are, you know, at a different level. Because that's another thing, you have so much of a discrepancy between the number one and the number six or seven in the lineup. And the only time where it really gets really close is when you get to the top division one, where all the players are very close in level. you know. But then even if you go into D2, mid D2, you could see that between number one and number six, there is a very, very, very clear gap on where in the developmental process they are. Meaning, you know, number one is going to have a weapon, mentally he's going to be stronger, and usually top, you know, top five and six players are going to be more grinders, and they're going to be mentally strong, but it's going to be more of a grinding type of game, you know. So to go back to the question, I think that high school is a completely different job as a coach than, let's say, college coaching. Junior college, though, it's right after, and I feel like it's also, you already have tennis players that decided that they want to play the game a little more, they want to explore the game a little more. You have all kinds of things. You have transfers, you have kids that have them qualify for D1 and D2. That's fine, but we're talking about the normal path of a kid growing through high school, going into college. And I think you have these players where you feel like you have an opportunity to kind of say, okay, look, let's step it up the practice a little bit. Let's step it up the level of commitment a little bit. Let's understand that injuries are going to play a role when you're playing 24, 25 matches in the spring, and then you're going to go into nationals, and the demands of the coaches are going to be higher. So there is still like a very big learning curve on what the experience could be for the last 3 or 2 years of their college careers, you know. And I like that job. I mean, I think that's our goal. I'm working actually together with Andrew Rifkin, which is my right-handed coach. He's a young coach, very talented. He has traveled with Katarina Stewart, which she's 17, 18, I think she is now. And she's already top 150 in the world or 200 in the world. And she's actually looking at college. She's actually looking at stopping the tour and going to play college. So we're working together, and he's helping me out with FSCJ. And we share the same approach. We never change really what we do, either with a 14-year-old kid or with a, you know, kid that is 900 ATP, you know. It doesn't matter. You won't train. You just push as much as you're allowed to push, and you pass the information that you see it fits, and that's it. It's always going to 100% of what's available to give. And sometimes 100% it's only a tiny bit, and you have to be able to recognize it. And sometimes 100% means that you are actually going to train 8 hours a day.
Excellent points. And I think we talked about that learning curve, and sometimes what we forget is that it's continuously learning. At 76 years old, you know, I pray I don't stop learning the challenges. I sit there and always say I'm late getting into the 21st century with computers. But then when I look at the high school coaches, I find I'm probably the norm. And to me, that's scary, because I think we have to sit there and continuously try to make the younger coaches speed up their learning curve. And this is what we try to do with the FHS PCA certification program. We don't try to reinvent the world. We're not trying to redo the PTR training, the USPTA training. But we, as a matter of fact, we give points for if you're going up the ladder for certification for all that stuff. But the people that come to the October workshop in Orlando, it isn't John Denise telling you this is your test. Every presenter there, as you know, you will give me 3 or 4 questions on your presentation, and that'll be those people that choose to take the certification exam. That'll be your position on what that's about. Chuck Creasy, when he does his presentation, that'll be his position on that. And those were the questions in the exam will be. Scott Inge coming from Kansas, again, that'll be his position on doubles and what he's looking for. Dr. John Murray talking on the sports psychology. It isn't me doing that. Those are, if you attended the presentations and you weren't sitting in the bar, you're going to be able to pass the test, because those are the coaches there. We're taking the information that they're given during that October 6th, 7th, and 8th workshops, and those are the questions that we will be asking. Those that want to continue and want to become senior or masters at that there, we don't charge another fee for that. What we do is we take in your position. Are you a high-performance coach training? Have you coached college? Have you? Are you? What PTR symposiums have you attended? What USPTA workshops have you attended? What USTA programs? We take consideration with all that. And, of course, our agreement with Human Kinetics allows us to not just use their books, but other books. So if you've taken a Human Kinetic course and you put that down for extra credit, we can verify that, and we can sit there and say, yes, this person is not just a certified high school tennis team coach, but he's at a senior level or she's at a master's level because she's also accumulated this stuff. So we really thank you for, you know, your being part of our program right from the beginning, and we're blessed to have you and the other people with us. Let me ask you a question, another question if I can. Putting together that competition calendar, you know, for player development, I realize that it changes for the age and the individual, but can you give us some ideas about what you see, you know, should be done and how it should be done, you know, rather than a parent's view necessarily, or what is your view on that?
Yeah, if we're talking, I mean, if we're talking, it's also, you can find developmental levels that are different. You know, you can find a developmental level of a kid that is learning to play the game, and you can find developmental kids that, you know, mainly the ones that I work with, that I'm grabbing kids that are like top 200 in Florida, and I try to break in the top 50 as soon as possible and then see what we can start working mentally, because after the top 50 is mainly mental. I mean, technique, you have to be sound to compete against the kid. Level is high. You can, if you improve technique, you can break into the top 50 kind of somewhat within 5 months, I would say. You know, I've done it with a couple of kids there, and I feel like once you pass four balls, rallies with a pattern that is like, you know, kind of like high percentage, I mean, I think you're okay. But then you start playing with insecurities or, you know, different type of competitors where some kids are scared to lose and then they lose, and some kids are scared to win and then they lose, and some kids are, you know, trying to decide if they're really good enough or if the technique that they have is good enough. And so the first thing I do, I'm only working with, I would say, full-time, 4 kids, and it's me and an assistant coach. And so I have some players coming and going, and then I have this French tour that takes place over a two-month period that I do with my friend here in Rouen, in France. But so then in that case, we have some ATP players and stuff like that, kids that are 900 trying to break in and stuff like that. And then we have some kids that are going to college and some and we use that as a completely different calendar. So let's say for the summer, I have one calendar for the kids that come to France because that's pure competition. So I know that the calendar before France is going to be completely different for the ones that come to France, because that means that I would create a calendar before, let's say, May or June, that would allow the kids not to feel the stress of competition that much, so we can focus on the technique. And then I know that I'm going to have enough competition throughout the months of June, July, August, where I'll be able to actually focus on the mental competition. Because when you have a calendar where you're playing matches every other day or every day, the wins are not that meaningful and the losses are not that meaningful. And that's a very powerful tool to be able to understand that working on the process is what really is going to give you the results in the long run. Either it's making money or collecting points or eventually getting a better scholarship. It's the day to day. But the problem is that when you have a calendar where you're, let's say, I'm in Jacksonville and then I have to travel to play an L4, which is above standard, and I have to drive 5 hours, and the cost of staying in a hotel in Naples or staying in Plantation is pretty steep, you know? And then you have the coaches, because obviously I have to leave whatever I'm doing to go with these kids. And then you have the meals. I mean, it's kind of like, it's like a tour. And all you're trying to do, I mean, if you're trying to develop there, but the kids has the feeling of pressure that he has to get the points to qualify for the next event, it becomes a really meaningful event. And that kind of puts in place wins and losses above development. I'm not saying that is undoable. I'm just saying that the priority over there is in collecting points and making it financially feasible for somebody that is not financially strong. You know, so it's a very demanding sport and it's a very demanding calendar in that sense. So what I try to do is try to minimize the exposure to this kind of events, and I try to invest into a calendar like the summer where I know that I'm going to be able to gain wins and losses a lot more often and then not worry about it and then work in the mental part of it. I have two kids that are graduating. One is Noah Sutter, and then the other one is Trip Toth. They're both from New York. I met him in New York when I was the head of a high performance in an academy over there in the Hamptons. And I was lucky enough that we clicked it off, and their families are amazing, and they trusted me with their kids. And so they moved down to Florida, and we started from scratch. And then they Noah is going to Penn State, and Trip is going to DePaul. And it took, I got to tell you, it was a very, very demanding financial schedule for the parents. And we all put a lot of work and a lot of effort into making this happen for the kids to go to college, you know. So I'm hoping that eventually also with the USTA moving to Orlando, that the tennis in Florida is going to get a little more centralized to where the high-level events are going to be towards the middle of the state. And that way is going to make it a little more feasible for everybody to do this thing, because I got to tell you, I mean, this thing is not cheap. And the thing is, it's not providing the experience to the players is expensive. See what I mean? Like, because what you need to do is, you don't need to win the event. It would be great if you do, but what you need to do is to live an experience, to be able to have a talk, to grow, to make the practices more meaningful so you can play better the next event, to have another talk, to grow, to have a more meaningful, and then you go like that. You know, that's my approach towards development, and that's that, you know, at the end of the day, I got to tell you, I finished with these two kids. They're going to do France with me. I'm going to meet the first one next week and the other one in July, and they have been sparring for professional players. They have shared the French tour with kids that have a couple of ATP points, and they're going to college, and they understand that even though the pressure is going to be higher, they understand what college is going to be like, because that's some of the things that we try to stress out. Like, how do you have to develop your personality to really fit in a group? How do you have to develop your personality to really be a team player and to follow a coach's order? Because when you're a junior, even in high school where you have a coach that is a coach, but it's a nicer transition, I have to say. If you're a junior player playing with a coach, you know, you're paying the coach. So the coach is your employee. If you're a junior, a high school player, then you're part of a group, and it's a different dynamic. So you start understanding that you have to kind of participate in a different way. And when you go to college, either you follow the path or you're out. I mean, right. And I think right. It's a good way, because you have to buy into the team spirit. And I think that I love the team spirit of college. And I feel like it makes a sport that is very individualistic. It makes it into a team sport. And you have a lot to gain, even if you decide to go to play on the tour. See, because when you go on the tour.
The one thing that tennis pros have to learn. I was just saying, I think that's the one thing that tennis pros have to learn about coaching, is that it's not the technique, it's the travel, it's building the trust and everything, and sometimes that takes time. You're talking about Lake Nanone and the USTA moving to the Orlando area. I think one of the changes, I wrote an article last year about it. I saw the future, and the future is now. And going to that play site, to have 100 plus courts with that play site on it, I think it's going to be such a valuable tool. I think of the days of the John Denis School of Tennis when my son was maybe going to Miami and I was going to Daytona with players. Now these people can go there, and by the time they finish their playing a tournament, and many of the places, I know in New Jersey they've been doing this for over a year, but in, we'll be having it in Orlando. Some of the colleges already had that. You have all that information. You could send that video to your coach. You could send it to your parents. If you have looking to be go to college, send it to them. And I think our job in some ways becomes easier because we'll have that information. But the one thing that doesn't change about coaching is that, you know, it's a trust that has to be built between the two people, and yeah, you have to love what you're doing. Otherwise, I have people say, you know, why are you still doing this at your age? Well, you know, because I love it. About a year ago with some health problems, I said I'm not going to take on any more individuals. And I have a girl that's a senior in high school, and she didn't think she wanted to play college. Now she thinks she might, and she's, you know, a borderline. And, you know, I find myself, you know, back into working with an individual, you know, 3 days a week. So, you have to love what you're doing, and you have to be able to sit there and be willing to open your mind and listen to other people. I have to do some business. We've been talking for about 50 minutes. Would you like to just tell the audience where how to reach you, and you know, any last minute comments that you'd like to make?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure what I'm doing next. I know I have two players that I'm committed to work with, but you can find tons of videos and mainly, I mean, this project that keeps changing and a lot of things about the French tour and everything at ibtennis.net. That's kind of, I decided to make my resume and make it a website. So you can find a lot of stuff about whatever we're doing there. And then the other thing is, since this is about high school and developmental tennis, which I feel like they're going hand in hand, is first of all, I do believe that high school has the potential to really help the developmental process in tennis in America if it's taken in the right direction and given the right boost. And also that I believe that developmental tennis is, the moment that you decide to be a developmental coach, you have to surrender all your expectations as a high-performance coach. That doesn't mean that the goals that you had, or that doesn't mean that that amazing things cannot happen. But whenever you're a developmental coach, your eyes and your goals have to be set only around the player. That's my point of view, and I think that's the fair way to look at it, because we're dealing with somebody that is really struggling to make something really difficult happen, because playing tennis and dealing with your own mind is probably the toughest thing that you could do. So those are my last words right there.
and outstanding words. And Jacksonville is going to be your home base, though?
Yeah. I try to keep it international. I feel like giving, especially the kids that I work with, an international view of how people do things, either from eating breakfast or competitive breakfast to playing a tournament, to prepare for a tournament, it's priceless. So I do a lot of international traveling, and I take all my players with me if they can. And but I'm based out of Jacksonville Beach. Yeah.
And Ingrid, we just thank you so much for sharing the information. You're welcome to stay on and interject anytime. I do have to let the people know what's coming up. And of course, hopefully everybody understands why Ingrid is part of our certification program, and we are so blessed to have him joining us in October. at the FACA workshop. The Florida Athletic Coaches Association, they'll be doing basketball and other sports and tennis. The Florida High School Tennis Coaches Association, we're the tennis arm of the FACA. We do the tennis training, and we have, I've been doing it for over 15 years now. And the high school tennis, what makes it such a challenge is it takes, there's so many different people. There's very few teams that are strong from 1 to 6. So what's your responsibility as a high school coach? The person that's coming on recreational and wanting to play, and the person that is playing because they're looking for a spot in college, those both people are equally important. And that's why we sit there and we try to have people like Inge there, that he's going to show you the developmental part of it, what you're going to need. Scott Inge from Kansas, excellent doubles presentation. What can I say about Chuck Creasy and the Clemson Hall of Fame? If you're a young coach and you're not listening to his radio broadcast, thank you, because there's so much wisdom out there. And I do think coaches are special people. They're willing to share the information with you if you sit there and ask for that. They're going to go out and give you that information. Scott Williams, was a high-performance coach, worked with Tommy Haas, a great career, loved the prospect, helped me put together our high school tennis team coach prospect. He'll be there talking about, you know, what are you looking for, what do you do to develop your players. Mike Kuypers, who is a Florida Miami coach that's won like 17 FACAA championships. He's also the tennis director for the National High School Coaches Association. He'll be there. So, you know, it really is a hoo-hoo. Ed Duffy, USPTA and PTR, high-performance coach, will be doing group drills, why, when, where you're going to be. So it's going to be a very important time, and we have people to thank about that. Besides the workshop, I've often said that, you know, if you have a problem with your high school coach and you feel you want to discuss it, please don't interrupt the practice, don't interrupt the game, but set an appointment to sit there and discuss your grievances. If that doesn't work out, go to the athletic director. But if you're happy, like most of the people are, nominate your coach for the High School Coach of the Year Award. Wilson will be presenting again this year the High School Tennis Coach of the Year and the 1A, 2A, 3A, and 4A divisions of the FHSAA. So nominate your coach. And no program is a program without community support. Dean Street Insurance. Dean Street Insurance will be again passing out the Community Service Award. So if you have somebody in your community that's supporting your high school team, and it's one of the reasons that good teams go beyond a tennis coach and players and an athletic director, it's about community. Dean Street Insurance will again be presenting a Community Service Award. If you don't have a Dean Street in your community, go to www.deanstreetinsurance.org. This year we will be inducting the first two into our High School Hall of Fame. I am blessed to be one of those people. John Posner, who is also in the National High School Coaches Hall of Fame, will be the other. And we thank Wilson for making that part of the awards presentation. You know, Our all-star team this past year looked great because they were wearing Team Connection uniform. If you go to www.fhstca.org and go to our resource page, you can go down to Wilson and see how you nominate your Coach of the Year award. You can go to Team Connection and see how your team, this year's team, earns points to get free uniforms for next year's team. Last year, Jane Hollinger's team won the uniforms. They were at the December workshop. Everybody was marveled over how great they looked. She pointed out to everybody that Team Connection told her to go in and pick out what she wanted, and she did. And they looked great. And they will be doing that again. Points are earned by playing USTA events, playing FHSTCA events. How many people you letter on your team? How many points for going to district, points for going to state? And, of course, most of the points are going to be earned from your GPA average and for the volunteer hours there. So see if your school qualifies for free uniforms next year. You'll make your athletic director very happy knowing that they don't have to get uniforms. Your coach will be earning points too. If they attend the FHSTCA workshop, they will get points for that. The coaches that went to the All-Star tournament, they get points. The players that were in this year's All-Star tournament at Winter Park Tennis facility, what a beautiful place that is, they earn points. So it's really a team effort earning points. If we do have most of our speakers lined up, I don't have the agenda put out. This issue of Florida Tennis Magazine, you should have, I received my copy today, so it should be coming out. We already do have it up on our website, our articles, and of course you can read the whole last issue like you can every month on our website. But in the next issue, and the August-September issue, we will have the complete agenda in there. We don't know where we're going to be yet. We're praying. We've been blessed to talk to the USTA campus, and they're seeing if, number one, will be complete in time, and number two, will we be able to be there, or do we use another local facility around there? We will be, the FACA will be at the Florida Orlando Mall, and that's where we'll be staying. Make sure you make your hotel reservations and get that special rate. You know how expensive they are. Get your schedule ready. Make sure you're there. And besides having the workshop, we will have an awards event like we did last year. And, of course, our annual meeting for the FHSTCA and our board meeting will be conducted right after that. Saturday, we will be open to the public as far as high school players and parents being there. There is nothing to hide. The stuff, the information that we are giving out, we want to share to the high school players and parents. As a matter of fact, the next week's guest on our show will be Brad West of the USTA Florida Social Media Director. He will be talking about that because it's so important. But we need your help getting the parents and players involved in that. David Beckwood, the Florida author, who will be presenting 100 books to the first 100 people, hardcover books, at our awards banquet in October, will be our guest on the 16th. And on the 23rd and And the 30th, I will be doing the presentation by myself, because every organization should sit there and evaluate what they've done. I will be stepping down as executive director. I will not be going away. I will be conducting the training each year. I will be a communication coordinator, and I will talk about our successes, what we've done, and about my failures, because life is about, we learn from our failures. So tell your friends. We look forward to talking with you next week. Please have a blessed week. Take care, and I would look forward to talking again with you next week. Okay, bye now.